Welcome, and thank you for listening in. I'm Gary Puckett, one of 34 show hosts nationwide here on the Flypod Media Network, and this special program is brought to you by CASA of Dearborn County, reaching out across southeastern Indiana communities because substance abuse knows no boundaries. CASA is a coordinating organization working collaboratively with numerous agencies and direct service providers, and their name truly does say it all. CASA, Citizens Against Substance Abuse. My guest on this special program is Sergeant Wally Lewis of Dearborn County Sheriff's Department. Sergeant Lewis is with the Crime Scene Investigation Department in the Sheriff's Office, but he also is in charge of the program known as, and I'll put this in quotes, Dispose of Unwanted Medication Properly program. And this in itself is an interesting topic. Wally, welcome to this special CASA program.
How you doing?
I'm fine. It's good to have you joining me here in our remote mobile studio. Let me just jump right into this. The medication disposal program, which you oversee, has been in existence in Dearborn County, it's my understanding, for about 2 years now?
Somewhere around 2010, yes.
Okay. What exactly does it mean when you say dispose of unwanted medication properly?
Well, the citizens and all of us, we don't have a way of a means to get rid of any prescribed medications or even the over-counter medications. We don't want to put that back into the environment.
Sure.
And we have a program that we can offer that we let people have access to that.
The Federal Department of Drug Enforcement started organizing local law enforcement agencies around the country, actually, in an effort to begin properly disposing of unwanted and unused medications. And it's reported that they have collected 1.5 million pounds of various drugs. How many pounds would you estimate your local program has collected and disposed of since you started roughly 2 years ago?
Well, earlier this year, when we brought our numbers together, we were around 700 pounds for the last couple of years. And I'd say easily coming into this month, we're going to be over 1,000 pounds total since the existence of our program.
That sounds like a lot of drugs.
It is. It is. You're surprised. But you think of how many people who have to prescribe medicines out there. Unfortunately, the deceased family members, they don't have an access for maybe someone who's elderly that may have had some really big health issues.
Sure.
It allows them to bring all those narcotics and even just the over-counters, once again, just to us. Now, in our program that we offer, we take in the prescribed medicines. We don't ask any questions. We don't look at the labels to find out who they are and where they're coming from. We just simply bring them in. We ask that they bring them in concealed containers. The ones they have is fine. If they end up putting them in plastic baggies, that's fine too. We just ask that they don't bring any sharps, which are the needles.
The needles, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you about that specifically because if I have a relative that has a prescription for let's say a narcotic, and I want to get it out of the house, if I bring this prescription in, what I hear you saying is that you will take it without really asking me any questions, maybe specifically as to why the drug I'm giving you is not in my name? Is that...
That's correct. It's a no-question-asked program. We don't want to scare anyone off. The mission of this program, which I refer to as the drug drop program, just simply bring them in, we take them, and we dispose of them.
Exactly how do you dispose of the drugs you collect? Because as I try to ponder methods of disposal, I'm not really coming up in my own head with anything that really is advisable. I mean, what do you do?
Well, we don't flush them down the toilet or throw them in the river. We bring in the medication just like a number of other items. The illegal drugs that we take, they're all properly disposed of also. And in that method, it's through incineration. We have a program, and we work with the industry, which has an incineration system that can take care of it for us. And on occasion, when we do have the liquids, there's an agency up out of the Ohio area it's through the DEA. They have a method of disposing of it also.
Interesting. How often do you have your drop-in collection events? How often do they take place?
Great question. We do this the last Saturday of every month, and we do it from noon to 4. Just come down to the Dearborn County Sheriff's Department. You come through the front doors of the lobby, and I'm usually sitting right up and within that area, and And I'd take it and get rid of it from there.
Very interesting. So it's very consistently held, and this is year-round?
Year-round.
Okay. Huh. That's great. Well, prescription drug use and abuse of prescription drugs has been really on the rise within our society, but specifically, how does your program work to offset this problem?
Well, just like we don't want to put this stuff back into the environment, we also, this is the two main topics of why this program is awesome. We're able to bring these drugs in, and this allows people who've had these that maybe a family member who may want to take them that are not prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cut down on thefts. We have people whose homes get broke into just simply because of the pharmaceutical problem.
Truly.
And the abuse.
Really?
So by clearing these out and not having them lingering in a house that are not being used.
So it's just taking them out of circulation, so to speak.
It takes it out of circulation. It cuts down the abuse of the drug for those who have the addiction problem. It cuts down any type of theft or burglary, because this is a big problem that within our own community.
And it's not just Dearborn County.
No. It's not just Dearborn County. It is nationwide.
Yeah, certainly. If one of our listeners had a specific question about your program or a particular scenario they wanted to bounce off of someone, either yourself or someone within your program, how did they go about contacting you and your program for answers?
They can contact the Dearborn County Sheriff's Department, number 812-537-8700. Once they reach that number, they could ask for myself, Sergeant Wally Lewis. They can send you to my extension, or you can contact me by email. I respond by email well. It's wlewis@dearborncounty.in.gov.
Okay.
And I'd be glad to respond back for any kind of questions.
Excellent. I'd like to shift gears here a little bit because you are also involved with the Crime Scene Investigation Unit. Can you describe some of what is involved in this aspect of your duties? I mean, I'm assuming that anybody watching CSI or NCIS or what in the world the program may be, that these are certainly not realistic depictions of what really goes on. My guess is the work is a lot harder and much more involved and time-consuming. But can you describe some of what is involved in this aspect of your duties?
Well, first of all, you're right. It is not like TV. It is a lot more work. To this day, I have not solved a case in 46 minutes without commercials. So, but
we're not. Yeah, we're not concerned. We're okay with that.
The job for a crime scene is really the documentation and the collection of the items, the packaging, preserving the evidence, and then eventually submitting it to either the labs for being analyzed, or then also for the submission into court and testifying.
You know, you hear from time to time, and here again, it may be on TV and it may be just from people that I've had on my show before. It kind of blends together after a while. But you hear about a concept referred to as the chain of evidence and the possession of the evidence. Is that an important factor in cases where evidence is gathered as to where that evidence resides and who has possession of it? From point A to point B?
That's correct. That's what we refer to as chain of custody. And it is the issue most of the time when we go to court and testify that it needs to be right and it should not be broken. Once it's broken and it's not been proper, it brings up questions. So once we've collected that evidence from a crime scene, say, we bring it into our possession, we secure it into our evidence room,
mm-hmm.
and then from that evidence room, it may go to the lab or it may sit there until the day of court. And even when we take it to a lab for analyzing, we show that chain. The lab themselves will have a chain, and they'll have to come and testify to that chain, whether it goes to a DNA, to latent examiners, or something in trace.
So when it goes from one set of hands to the next, I assume that there is, I'll call it, for lack of a better term, like a formal sign-off.
Correct. It's what we call our Bible. It's a property record receipt, and we keep track of that. And any other agency that transferred to, they'll do the same, because eventually we're going to have to show where it was.
Got it. Well, Wally, has this crime scene investigation program and the activities involved in your department, has it grown over recent years?
Oh, yes. The demand, just like you mentioned before, the different CSI programs on TV and all the different law enforcement programs you see nowadays, it's an expectation of what people expect, you know. When you go to court, trial. Jurors expect to see that. So the demand has, and technology has been able to allow us to bring that up. I don't know if it's because of TV, but when you go and process for DNA, it's not a myth. It works when you look for latent exams. The big deal when you're looking for latent prints and you send that off, you don't have that where you put it into the computer and the fingerprint right. shows up and you've got a guy's name and a photo of him. Well, we're not quite that far yet, but it's the demand for it, yes, it has increased, and technology has come pretty quick in the last few years.
Well, television program producers have very active imaginations. And well, does evidence collected ever get disposed of? And if it does, what are the guidelines or the rules for doing so?
Yeah, it's a continuous incoming and outgoing. We follow statute of limitations. Court orders govern most of the evidence that's disposed of.
Okay.
We have a case that's been disposed of. Someone was found innocent or guilty. We'll seek an order to destroy. And in many cases, it may be unfounded, but either way, it's always documented, just like the chain of custody. It'll show that who's responsible, whose authority allowed for the destruction.
Is the authorization for this destruction something that typically is obtained from a judge? Does a judge sign off on it, or does the prosecutor's office sign off on it, or the sheriff, or how does that work?
Well, in our community, we send over a request, and through the prosecutor's office, they'll draw up the documentation for an order to destroy, and it'll be sent on to the judge, and we'll usually have that order for either release, once again, or destroy.
Okay. On that note, what would you say is the most interesting item you have in your evidence room at this current time?
That's a good question. Something.
I thought it was.
Without bringing up any recent cases,
of course.
Active cases.
I'm not asking you to divulge anything.
If someone was I forget the proper military name for it, but it looks like a rocket launcher, which most people think it's an active rocket launcher, but actually it is a laser pointer that the military at one time would use. And I think it was actually gathered from a drug arrest. So
serious?
Yes. So that's pretty far out.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a hard item to dispose of because nobody really wants this item.
Yeah.
We're trying to give it back to the government, but we're working on a process of getting rid of it. We have the order to get rid of, but I guess it's so old, there's some material within it that you can't just cut it up and throw it away or burn.
Oh, yeah. So I can see it.
I'm thinking it has something like radioactivity in it. So
yeah, no doubt.
We'll probably have to find the right method.
Well, how would you describe the role that you play in the conviction of a criminal? Can you kind of take us through that process?
As far as my duties, when I work a crime scene, I'm called, do my documentation either through photographs and note-taking, and then collect the evidence. I'm not actually looking for any of the suspects. I'm just letting the crime scene speak to me. So once I gather the evidence and I've done all that and I've preserved and packaged it, my role is pretty much done until there's a request for examination needing being done on items. And then even after that, my role would be just to testify to the chain of custody and how I collected the items.
But being a police officer, you're certainly familiar with how the other side works. And I would assume that that would be pretty critical to you being able to do your side well.
Yes. It being a police officer doing this job helps out a lot.
Yeah. Well, Wally, obviously you're not in this alone. Many of these successful efforts in this type of program are a product of team efforts. Can you tell me anything about some of the key players or individuals that you work closely with in this regard?
A lot of times when we do have a crime scene, it used to be, once you brought up a point earlier that, you know, how much has crime scene evolved, it used to be where maybe one individual would be sent to the crime scene for something that's pretty lengthy because of the demand that we're looking. A lot of times when we have a major crime scene, there may be two, three, maybe sometimes four of us involved.
Mm-hmm.
My partner, who I work with, Lieutenant Lewis, which we're not related, Ed Lewis, he worked for the state police for, I believe, 30 years, crime scenes for over 20, probably has worked over close to 5,000 crime scenes.
Wow.
So he's been with the department 10 years, and I've learned so much from him. But he's told me many stories on where it was just simple to go to a crime scene. You took five photos, and You know, today the demand, you go in, it's with the digital technology, it's so much easier. We can take in several hundred photos.
I'll bet.
A lot of times. And working with someone with that life experience and that ability and the knowledge has been awesome.
You know, that's a wonderful exchange. And the passing of the knowledge from one professional to the other is certainly valuable in any form of work. But I could see where it would save you an immense amount of time in learning the techniques that get you there.
Well, that's one thing I have learned from him. The process is really the same. He's always documented.
Very methodical.
Very methodical.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Well, Wally, I'd like to thank you for coming on this special program. The information you've shared is quite intriguing, actually. Listeners, if you would like to know more about CASA and become part of the solution with Citizens Against Substance Abuse, I would suggest that you contact them directly. They are the locally funded coordinating council working with the Governor's Commission for a Drug-Free Indiana. Anti-drug messages are everywhere. And you may feel a little overwhelmed at times by messages such as these, but these programs, including the programs that we've talked about here today with my guest, they're helping address a very serious problem in our society at large, but certainly in the communities of Southeast Indiana. You can contact CASA by calling directly at 812-532-3538 and ask for Donna Thacker, or you can begin your inquiry by visiting their website at DearbornCountyCASA.com. I'm Gary Puckett, and I thank you very much for joining us and listening in.